DW Africa Link.
In a nation as dynamic and diverse as Nigeria, women make up nearly half the population, yet their voices remain largely absent from the political arena. With election cycles shaping the future and global conversations about gender equity gaining momentum, the urgency of the question is palpable as the world waits also on who will make it to President Donald Trump's cabinet. Why do Nigerian women remain politically underrepresented? And what's at stake if this imbalance persists? Let's explore the barriers, the consequences, and the fight for a more inclusive democracy. Stay tuned. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Let's talk about Nigeria, focusing on women's participation in Nigerian politics. The World Bank estimates this year that there are well over 100 million females in Nigeria. But to what extent have they used this numerical strength to their advantage? Let's look at the facts on the ground in Nigeria today. The Nigerian Senate has 109 members, with only 3 women as elected senators. Yes, I said it, 3 women out of 109. And the House of Representatives comprises of 360 members, also with an maximal 16 lawmakers only. Well, if you're shocked, listen to this. President Bola Tinubu heads a 45-member cabinet and only 8 are women. So where are the Nigerian women when it comes to elective and appointment positions in this most populous black nation on earth? Dr. Aisha Lawal Malumfashi is a criminologist at the Department of Sociology, University of Abuja. DW's correspondent Ben Adam Shemang is also on board as we discuss Nigerian politics with an attention to women. I just feel this discussion and this topic is ideal right now with all the elections that happened in Africa in 2024. And now we are seeing the United States of America has a new president and the cabinet will be coming soon. Germany will also be going to elections this year in February. So this discussion is ever timely. It's a discussion that can never end. But let's talk about Nigeria. Ben, you are a reporter on ground. The numbers of women in politics are dwindling. What are the factors responsible for these?
Well, yes, the number is dwindling. There are a lot of factors. For example, when it comes to having money for campaigns, many Nigerian women do not have the money needed for campaigns. Apart from that, there are also some cultural inhibitions. Inhibitions can come by way of some people saying, look, why should my wife or why should their wife be roaming around campaigning and leaving the home front for the man to cater for, you know? So don't just feel that the women should always be at home. And maybe wrongly, in my own opinion, the former president of Nigeria, Muhammadu Buhari, actually even said, even as a sitting president, that women should just belong to the kitchen. And that kind of brought some anger on the side of women in Nigeria and even in Africa. And so then the macho kind of men tend to dominate politics in Nigeria, and they feel that they can always load it on women. Mm-hmm. And so quite a lot of problems the women are confronting when it comes to politics in Nigeria.
And now, Aisha, Dr. Aisha, from what Ben just mentioned, truthfully, that statement from former President Muhammadu Buhari is something that lives with a lot of people until today. And we thought maybe the president, current president Bola Ahmed Tinubu, would do things differently. But many say, no, it's still the same. Women are underrepresented in Nigeria. Please, can you just give our listeners a general overview of women participation in politics when it comes to Nigeria?
The issue of women participation into politics, or let me say, the underrepresentation of women, has become a complex issue in our society, because it has influenced to some extent various aspects, various sectors of the system in our society, socially, economically, and even culturally. And the problem there is that they are not looking at the effort that those women that were appointed or elected in the system have done so far. Like the female appointed officials we have, like the Minister of Finance in the name of Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, the former Minister of Education also, the former Minister of Environmental, Amina Mohammed, who was the Deputy UN Secretary, and many more that have done enough, that have really helped. If they were to look at efforts that were put in place, that these women really tried in facilitating the governance, the affairs of the society at large, I think Nigeria could have been a better place by now. In the sense that when you look at the motherly figure, Nigeria is a motherland. And when we say the mother figure, I'm talking about woman in person. If a president, a whole president, will refer to her as relegated to the kitchen, definitely I think the basis of problem began from that statement in the country, because not by he saying it, let me say it has also been practiced initially.
Yes.
He pointed it out that he made people to have a concept of mockery that they can continue talking about. In fact, the basic problem of Nigeria, to be precise, I think is majorly lack of women in the political affairs. A woman is somebody that has a kind of power that can't be underestimated. For example, you see a man, or let me say a young man, a youth, having problem, maybe a kind of social problem attached to him. It could be drug addict. It could be misbehavior in the society. And you hear somebody saying that, get a woman into his life and he will be better. Please, why can't Nigeria think about putting women into the system and they will see what goes on? For example, now, what happened recently in the university here? Professor Aisha Mekudi was the acting vice chancellor. When she came on to board to contest for the vice chancellorship in the university, we had about 40 professors with her, and they were all trying to bring her down. As far as writing propagandas, petitions that are not worth it, saying that they didn't undergo the actual processes, many comments, derogatory comments that will push her back. But God so kind, she came up as a substantive vice chancellor eventually. And we can see efforts she has started making even from the first week in the system. So if people begin to think about taking women backward, while they know that if today their child is having a criminal tendency, one of the main factors that can resolve that man's solution is to get a nice woman and attached to him, and it will work out. Why can't our government
Absolutely.
Think about that?
I see that, not to give my opinion, but I've seen that there's even a First Ladies Association or organization in Nigeria, and it feels like the women are happy with those positions, being wives of the governors, or is it called wives of the governors, Ben, if you can correct me?
They call them First Ladies.
First ladies. And they seem content with that, but how much authority or power do they have to also even advocate in terms of laws that benefit the country or benefit the youth or the young girls in the country?
If the government can come up with some initiatives, although there are some still in existence, like the National Gender Policy, if these policies can be made effective to some extent, the non-governmental organizations should also engage in some trainings and mentorship as an advocacy on trying to see how this number of women can increase in the system. But the consciousness of the people, the mindset, has to also accept it to some extent. And another problem that fears me to see, that is, women are even the enemies of their fellow women. You see that a woman wants to contest, another fellow woman will be the one telling people around, please, what will she do there? How can she be there? She can't, what does she even know? Why can't you wait and see what she can do? Why can't you try her? So if they feel it's a place of non-trial, you can look at the individual person's personality qualifications and see what you can draft from that and see how you can move on with the person in question. Just like all those policies put in place that are not being effective, I feel the policies, even maybe among the makers, were not basically women. I can say the basic problem of Nigeria is lack of women in the political affairs of the system.
That's why we're having this discussion, Aisha, not to cut you short, but just for us to continue the discussion and also touch on many other aspects. Ben, it really looks like it's a men's world when it comes to Nigerian politics.
Yes.
Like Aisha is also saying, I've also given an example of the First Ladies Association, whatever. Give our listeners, please, a sense of this as our reporter on ground.
Yes, you see, let us take the case of the National Assembly, just the federal. We are not yet talking of the 36 states in Abuja, just the national in Abuja, where you have the Senate. We have 106 senators representing Nigeria. Of this number, I mean, as little as six are the female senators. You know, so abysmal in representation. Then if you go to the House of Representatives, there are 360 members making the laws for the Federation of this country. But out of that number, only 16 are women. That shows you that it is a man's world in Nigeria, which to very many people, things are wrong. The men tend to dominate everything. And there are times, even physically, you could see that when you're talking about those having militia, let me call them militia, or those talks around them, in most cases, you just see them having some boys who can rattle women or rattle even weak opponents. That is the general picture here. And that's why people are saying, look, let there be a rule of law. Let there be equality before the law. And let there be equal representation. And with this kind of representation, is just far, far below expectation. When people are talking of a Beijing declaration, we need to have some equal representation. But like we said earlier, some people will count at religion, they count at finances, they count at culture, and even the conduct of people as things that men tend to adhere to, mostly to hinder women from coming on board.
Right. Now, Aisha, just to come back to you, some people will argue that women should wait to be appointed into office rather than campaign for elective positions. We are looking at even the fact that the statistics, out of 109 senators, there are only three. And out of 360 House representatives, there are only 16 female lawmakers in Nigeria. What is your opinion on this?
The lack of representation and opportunities is a critical issue in our system. We can say that these opportunities are not really influenced by the policies and decision-making we have in ground. Since many countries have less female participants in the parliamentary seats, and let's say only 27 countries that have have female head of state. So look at the barrier that is in existence. The electoral systems even is disadvantage women, such as the majority vote system also. So the issue of violence and harassment, like the example I cited earlier, can affect this significant number to increase. It's the basic obstacle. Since women are facing online threats, physical violence, even psychological harassment, some things are only stated and they are not in existence, just to deprive them of pursuing the political career and a form of create a hostile environment for them. So If women are faced with numerous challenges, it will hinder their participation as well as effectiveness even when they come to stand. The barrier of stereotype forms the basis of this discrimination. They tend to undermine their legitimacy and even their capability as a leader. The stereotype is perpetuated by the media and reinforcing the idea that women are less capable leaders than men.
How? We don't do that. We are the media. We don't do that, Aisha. In what way?
The media, for example, I'm saying that when people say things that are not in existence, or let me say, will I say the social media? Let me be specific in general. I made this statement due to what happened, the propaganda that they've been sending on different websites about the current election that the VC was having now, that they said that they did not follow the due processes of the professorship in terms of the years for one to be a professor before he can become a vice chancellor, which all those things are not really culminated in the actual signing of the VC contestment. So you look at all those kind of things they bring on board tend to create a stereotype that people don't know the actual statement on ground. They may assume that what was stated is true. Then when you look at a family from the upbringing, that I'm talking about the cultural setting now, some people prefer their male, though let me say that has drastically reduced for going to school. And that is why the number of them, even in the media, might even be of higher increase than those of females.
Yeah. So in other words, you're saying that also the societal background issues contribute to this. Your upbringing as women in Nigeria also affects yes. the way that you see yourselves in higher positions, because men never believe in women in Nigeria, even as you're growing up. Now, Ben, just to touch on what Dr. Aisha has given an insight as to why women have a layback kind of syndrome in politics, then how should Nigerian women be encouraged to be active participants in politics?
You see, Josie, it has to start from the immediate family. It is cultural that some people just feel, yes, the woman should always be around, and no one frowns at a man who goes out, spends a day or two or a whole week before coming back. But everything goes wrong. It's like the house is being pulled down because a woman cannot be found at home. And if the man is at home, the woman is somewhere else campaigning. They just say this is a reversal of order. So you now be cooking for the children as a man. You now be take them to shower and all that as a man. So culturally, I think that we have to drop that kind of thinking. And again, political parties should imbibe the fact that women can contribute effectively in what they are doing. And that's why I can see that in the armed forces of Nigeria, we now have generals who are women. But politically, let us not limit them to, we'll just have to dash you a position by being appointed, so to speak. So if there are also largesse, if there are ways they obtain loans to go into some of these political things, the banks or wherever the sources are should not make the conditions so stringent for the women. And for women, truly, I've seen that where women will contest, let's say, a pre-election to have a candidate to stand for a position. Even when you are seeing the number of women, so many as delegates, you just see that just a few will vote for them. For example, we once had Sarah Jibril, who wanted to contest against Atiku and Goodluck Jonathan. In the end, we just saw that in spite of the number of women that were there at that convention, she got only one vote. Meaning that Sarah Jibril, as a presidential candidate, simply voted for her. No man was by her side, no woman by her side. So women are also a problem to themselves. And the women, too, I think they should also, don't just take it like you are of a weaker sex. Mm-mm. The fact remains, human beings are just the same. you know, but God created them differently for different roles. But when it comes to service delivery, I mean, like Dr. Aisha said, we have Amina from Nigeria. She was Minister of Environment. She's UN Under Secretary now, right? Yeah. They are doing quite a lot of jobs. So I think that the women should be given this right.
Yeah, people like Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, there are a couple of women, but still we feel the number, looking at Nigeria as a well-populated, high-populated country, the numbers are not making sense, Ben. Since still with you, as you have the mic, people talk of money politics in Nigeria, and you did mention that even the banks should be a little bit lenient when it comes to women. So how does it play out against the Nigerian women politician?
You see, the Nigerian woman politician does not have these financial muscles because, one, well, a man probably has property to sell, houses, land, and all that. You see that in terms of inheritance, up to now, some communities, some tribes in Nigeria do not allow some women to have real property inheritance. They could just be dashed some little thing, it ends there, some clothes, but not immovable property, fixed property like plots or houses or a late father on a hotel, a big school, and all that. You just see the male dominating that. So if a male child simply sells a property like that or uses it as a guarantee to obtain a loan, then he can go into politics effectively, compared with the lady who is not having that same thing. You see, at the point, even when you had some people in police detention, a woman goes to grand bail, they say no, a man should come instead. So you can see there is a segregation. So apart from that, women too, don't just wait. There are women who are very, very rich, stinkingly rich. You can also, just like the men will do, there is what we have, godfatherism, who is saying that a woman cannot identify women somewhere and bring them up politically to certain levels so that they take care of whatever society needs. Because in doing that, it's not going to be that they'll just take care of women. Mm-mm. Any problem that is solved for society.
Right, right. It's just this whole PhD, pull head down syndrome, that's also is so common amongst women. Now, Dr. Aisha, we spoke about cultural, religious, or environmental issues facing women in society in Nigeria that stands against women. But like we are also talking now, do women themselves really stand by each other when it comes to contesting elections?
The answer is no, because when I look at the cultural and social norms from the onset, women face resistance, even from their families, communities, the society at large, due to the cultural and social norms. They are being discouraged to participate. So since they are being discouraged, even if they gather the models to come on board and try to, they find a way that they can set them back. And therefore, all forms of intimidations can emerge for that. So they feel like the women often bear, you know, a kind of burden of caregiving responsibility, which makes it difficult for them to balance family obligations with political career. Therefore, there is a need for them to like relegate to the actual base where they think they belong. Therefore, women actually don't support their fellow women. Even if they do, you find it that it's at a very minimal rate.
Dr. Aisha Lawal Malumfashi is a criminologist at the Department of Sociology, University of Abuja, and DW's correspondent Ben Adam Shemang. Thank you so much for joining us. For the moment, we can only hope that things change for the better, not only in Nigeria, but also in other countries.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a vital part of our community. Your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Please don't forget to follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. And until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.